Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The drive is live, and a lot to get to. I don't know why. Shout out to Tyler Milner, who went out, and we got Mike Florio coming up at 3 o'clock. We got Mike Florio coming up. Oh, boy. Mike Florio yesterday said, just something's going on around there in Houston.
Tyler's in on it, that's why.
Feels like the Eagles. Feel like the Eagles from a couple of years ago. Some people don't like each other. So what is going on? I want to do some digging, and then this happens. Not to mention, we'll get a little bit more understanding of what looks to be Gardner Johnson's replacement in a week. Jimmy Woods and those legal situations. So
Jimmy Woods.
Who the hell's Jimmy Woods?
Sounded cool as hell, though.
Yeah. I don't know. Seems like a good nickname if we can find somebody to handle it.
Jimmy Woods. Jimmy Ward, excuse me. He'll catch us up on what to look for with that as he's off the commissioner's exempt list. But this is interesting. It is a Texans Ticket Tuesday, so you got a chance in the 5 o'clock hour to win a pair of tickets to go see the Texans in an absolute must-win game coming up on Sunday as they host the Tennessee Titans. So stay tuned, 5 o'clock hour. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. So make sure you're staying alert and ready for that. By the way, those tickets, front row tickets in the bullpen for Sunday against the Titans. All right, Clint, the news of the day for people who may be just jumping in, the start of the show here, the Texans release C.J. Gardner-Johnson, safety. He, as we've talked about multiple times this year, arguably was their number one offseason addition as they trade Kenyon Green, an absolute bust. They trade him. By the way, Kenyon Green has been on and off again out of the league since really that trade has happened. I think he just got signed to their practice squad again after being released earlier this year. But they give him the boot. We thought, boy, they clearly won this trade. You get a starter in Gardner Johnson. He is gone, Clint. And according to Aaron Wilson, among issues with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, there was friction behind the scenes with the veteran safety, criticism of teammates, complaints about his role, including wanting to blitz more frequently, and apparently requested a trade also with C.J. Gardner-Johnson per Aaron Wilson. He was critical of teammates, in particular in the secondary, and didn't like his role, as we said. It was a locker room issue, and ultimately this wasn't a good fit for the team or for the talented player in Gardner Johnson. All right, your thoughts now, Clint, if you hear this, to me, shocking move for the Texans as they go into a must-win game on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocked that this guy has done enough, ruffled enough feathers to get booted off the team 3 weeks into a season.
Oh, no.
I mean, this is a guy that, as John Lopez just said 2 weeks ago, got a bunch of money up front on a deal. This is a guy that was brought in here with Super Bowl pedigree and that pelt on his wall last year and is a playmaker, is a ball hawk, is a veteran vocal leader, which you can argue that you need desperately on this defense. Derek Stingley Jr. is not real vocal. Danielle Hunter's not real vocal. Azeez Al-Shaair is a communicator, but I don't know that he's an overly vocal guy when it comes to holding guys' feet to the fire. I thought this was a key piece to this defense to get them to take the next step. You know, to think that whatever he's done in under the whole umbrella of everything you just mentioned of being critical of teammates and wanting a different role on his team, it just seems like those are minor issues. Even if he was very loud with all of them, it seems like those are very minor issues relative to getting released from a team and this team be willing to eat at least $6 million worth of dead cap hit. So I'm shocked that he is no longer with this team. I think the other part is, like, if you bring CJ Gardner-Johnson into your locker room and you expected him to fall in line and be one of the do your job and shut up guys, it was a piss poor decision from jump. He's never been that kind of player. He never will be that kind of player. He's going to be vocal and at times probably too vocal. You probably should have known that before you signed him. So I'm interested to hear the details, which I think one way or another are going to emerge. Now we'll see how the organization plans to handle it. I think this is a situation where if I were directing D'Amico Ryans from a PR perspective, I would probably say, hey man, you might want to shed a little bit of light on this, because you know that CJ Gardner-Johnson is absolutely going to do it within the week on some podcast somewhere. And if you want him to build the story,
you think we'll hear from CJ?
100%, absolutely, absolutely. And I think it'll be sooner rather than later. I think it'll probably be in an emotional state, so it'll be very raw, I would imagine. But yeah, I mean, this is one where you got to consider the player that you're dealing with, and if you're the organization, you got to get out in front of this. And I'm not saying you just throw all the skeletons out there, but you got to say more than, hey man, we're moving on to the next guy. Like, there's got to be some level of transparency here, or you can just let the disgruntled player, you can let them build the narrative around the organization and whatever's going on.
Because right now it's just speculation.
Right.
And you're going to have, because this is a what the hell is going on?
Everybody in the NFL, this is one where everybody in the NFL is going to be looking at, like, well, who speaks first? What the hell happened? This isn't Dez King, right? This isn't Dez King. This isn't one of the guys that you release and then somebody else might pick up when they have four injuries at that position by week eight. Like, this is, I think all eyes will be there. I think the ears will be there. People will be talking about it. And the other part of that, Ron, is it's real easy to stick your head in the sand if you're the Texans when you're a 10-win team.
And you're 0-3.
You got to move a little different when you're 0-3.
With expectations.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, you 10 wins, second round of the playoffs, ahead of the curve in your rebuild, you can stick your head in the sand and everybody will say, yeah, but them guys are winning, it don't matter. 0-3, people look at it and go, what in the hell is going on in Houston? And they'll turn to C.J. Gardner-Johnson to get a little peek behind the curtain. It's just the way the world works right now. And so if it were me, I believe I'd be a little more transparent with this one of why this didn't work and not just, hey, man, we went our separate ways.
Speaking of that, the next time we should hear from D'Amico should be right here tomorrow on The Drive.
Right here, huh?
Yeah, he usually speaks on Wednesdays. Him and CJ, the other one, Stroud. He usually speaks on Wednesdays. They both do, and you'd imagine, obviously, that's going to be addressed, and he will address exactly what you're saying. He will address it, I would assume, right off the bat before a question is even approached to him, and we'll hear what he has to say. Because, as you said, man, you don't go from playing virtually the whole damn game.
93%, Ron.
And I'll be honest with you, I know we'll get to... Usually on Tuesday, we have a tape drop Tuesday right off the bat. We'll have that a little bit later on in this hour. But I know you've watched some things. I rewatched the game. And, I mean, defensively, I don't know what the PFF grades are, but I would imagine he was probably one of the better players in the game, not to mention playing the whole way.
He was playing a lot of center field. They somehow, Bullock was down around the line of scrimmage a little bit more. Somehow Petrie obviously is down around the line of scrimmage a lot more than he is. So if that complaint, I could probably see a little bit. But yeah, he was in the game 93% of the time. And nothing stuck out to me.
And making an impact, played. I mean, you wouldn't look over and say play bad.
I would argue that the long pass play to end the game that kind of ended it for the Texans, that was Kamari Lassiter. And then you can also I think probably point to Bullock. He dropped down in the hole and probably should have been in that slant window and collapsed on that throw and didn't. And it was you know out the back door. Now maybe I don't know if zero should have, or what was he was wearing, 8 or 0 8. I don't know if Gardner Johnson should have been over the top or not, or maybe there was something there. But to my knowledge, watching the film, it looks like he played really, really good. And
to think that they would roll out with him, Jimmy Ward, he's even eligible to come back until after this game.
Yeah,
he can't come back until after week 4, right? So I mean, we'll get into that a little bit later. They are really, really thin now. And probably going to have to go outside of the organization along with pulling up guys from the practice squad to help this. But Clint, this is, and I'm really here from the people because I see the text line, YouTube and Twitch is going, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. As I said, what's your feeling now you hear this? The Texans are trading, which we thought one of their leaders on their team, a guy they went out and made a trade for to go get, recently gave him more money up front, redid his deal where he got more money up front, played virtually the entire game defensively, and then they just sliced and diced. Your thoughts on it? Clint, we've been saying it. We've felt it. There's something going on with this team, and it is more than just them being 0-3. There is clear issues in this going around this team. You can feel it, you can sense it, you can see it when all of them speak, when you can feel it, and then this move occurs, Clint. This is deeper than just 0-3. What's going on here? And I don't see how in any way this doesn't intensify the issues that are happening there, because rest assured, as you said, he is an alpha in that locker room. There has got to be a good amount of people who ride with C.J. Gardner-Johnson and are with C.J. Gardner-Johnson and probably have similar issues and complaints that C.J. Gardner-Johnson may have had. And there is, I wouldn't be shocked at all, Clint, if there is some sort of group of people saying, what is this? What is going on that are not rocking with this decision? And then maybe some others that are like, yeah, fine, he's good. This in no way, to me, helps whatever is going on in that locker room.
Oh no, it definitely doesn't help. I mean, winning healthy, winning franchises don't have this kind of thing happen. Don't have a guy play 93 snaps that you brought in to be a game changer and help your organization take the next step, which the next step is AFC Championship, Super Bowl, and then you cut him less than a month into the season. Like that's not a winning move. Some of the stuff you can't help, right? Some of the draft pick stuff that we've talked about, some of the offensive line stuff that we've talked about, you know, having to go with Joe Mixon versus Saquon Barkley, maybe some of those things you can't help. When you get this one in-house, this is one that you have a choice to make and a way to move, and they chose to get him up out of the building. So I'm sure some details will emerge, and you know, we'll find out a little bit more about what the heck's going on, Ron. But I cannot help but, you know, to your point of like it, other players maybe siding with or agreeing with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I don't know, man.
You don't think he's a lone gun in there?
Well, I don't think he's a lone. No, I mean, I think he probably spoke some truth, and I don't doubt that there's maybe a couple of guys that may agree with him. But when you look at, I mean, you look at the guys on this team that can move the needle. I mean, they are all lockstep, like D'Amico Ryan's lockstep. I ain't stepping out of bounds whatsoever. I mean, Will, Aziz, Jimmy Ward, Nico Collins, C.J. Stroud.
C.J.'s completely in that?
C.J. ain't bucking nothing. I mean, there's. I mean, the only guys that you would think would buck, it's Joe Mixon. He's gone.